Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. I'm your host, Jennifer Jensen, alongside
Lieutenant Alex Soto Matehuala.
I have our newish LT on here as my co-host this week. And I'm so excited to have her because happy 250th birthday, America. I can't wait to go celebrate for 4th of July. I know BASE is having a huge Freedom Fest 250. So if you're interested, that's going to happen on July 2nd from 5 p.m. until 9 p.m. You got to stay for the fireworks. There's going to be food. There's going to be things for the kiddos to do. The beach is right there. All you need is a DOW ID card to get on the BASE and then head on down to the marina. Another reason Lieutenant Soto is on this episode is because she gave me the honor of hearing her story. So she was born in Mexico, but she has lived out the all-American dream, if you will. And I thought her story was so touching and lovely. Like, it's from the ground up America. This is what people want. This is the American dream. So I wanted her to tell her story. So go ahead, Soto.
Thank you, Jen. Yes, I came to the U.S. when I was 6 years old. My parents wanted a better future, a better life for their children. So then they decided to come to the U.S. looking for the American dream. And I actually obtained it. I'm very thankful for the U.S. So growing up, I would always see so many opportunities. And my parents taught me to always take all the opportunities you can, because nothing is free in this life, right? So then growing up, I would always be doing good in school, be doing good in everything, taking little things here and there. And then I had the opportunity to become a U.S. citizen. And that was, I can tell you, that was one of the proudest moments. Oh my God. See, I even want to cry just thinking about it.
You worked hard for that. Yes, you should tearful.
So then once I became a U.S. citizen, I had like an epiphany, you know, like I wanted to get back. I was just like, you know, this country has given me so many blessings that it's time for me to give back. So the best way I could think of was like, you know what, why don't I just join and give my time back and fight for this country that has given me so much. So yes, I went to the recruiting office not knowing anything, because none of my family are prior military, no one. So it was the first thing that I just jumped into it. Good thing I chose the Air Force.
Yes.
So I joined, they accepted me, I went as enlisted, and like I said, I just wanted to give back. So they told me, what do you want to be? I was like, anything, I'm just here to give back. Thankfully, I had amazing supervisors. Shout out to Master Sergeant Erica Millich. She was amazing, and she started guiding me to becoming a better military person, you can say, teaching me the military ways and for me to make the best out of it, right? To the best way to give back. So then I got deployed, and in that deployment, I met General Betts, and he told me, he's like, hey, Soto, you know, I can nominate you to be an officer. And then that's when the whole officer part came in, because that was not in my mind. My mind was just, I'm just going to join, give back. Enjoy it, right? It wasn't in my mind of the future. I was just like, where God takes me.
Yeah.
And look where he took me. So then I took the word of the general, and here I am. We submitted the whole package. And then 1 year later, they're like, yeah, you got picked up for OTS. You're going to be a lieutenant. Never in a million years would I think me, you know, born in Mexico City, coming here for the American dream, just wanted to get back, and then boom, there's this opportunity to, that it is a bigger impact now that I can see as an officer than enlisted. I have that more tools to make a bigger impact. So I'm so grateful.
Absolutely. And I think you did it the right way. I genuinely feel like every officer should feel what it's like to be an enlisted at some point. You did that. And you didn't even come in as public affairs, did you? What was your job?
I was prior CE, civil engineering. So yes, totally, totally different.
You were literally in the trenches. Those guys work hard. I've said it on so many episodes. Like, they're the ones out there building, you know, whole structures. They're out there digging dirt with construction vehicles. They're fighting fires. They are like the elbow grease of the Air Force, I think. So you know how your airmen are motivated, how they want to be treated, and you are excelling, I think. Well, I think you're fantastic. She is so smart, so on point with everything. Like, she is putting a lot of other people to shame, so I love it. And she's brand new to public affairs. You went to tech school. You learned, you know, how to be a PAO, and she's doing fantastic, you guys. She's in charge of our community relations program, and that is not an easy task to take on. There is a lot of moving pieces to that.
I underestimated that job.
Yes.
Yes, it's crazy busy. I didn't expect it to be that busy, but it's so rewarding, you know, mm-hmm. seeing the faces of the high school students, JROTC, coming and seeing the base, and
yep.
you see their eyes glowing when they see the F-35 or
yep.
or they see the whole base. It's just very heartwarming.
So you being a dual citizen, you share the pride, right? Like, you are proud that you earned your American citizenship, but you're also a proud Mexican citizen, right?
Yes, like, I like to cook Mexican food. Like, I love Mexican food. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I try to bring my culture back to the office. Like, sometimes I bring some sweets whenever I go visit my husband, because my husband's right now in Mexico City. We're waiting for the documentation for him to be here with me. And that's another big sacrifice, you know, of military people that we get stationed overseas, or since we're traveling, you know, you can meet your other half while doing that. And that happened to me.
Yeah.
So it's a big sacrifice, but at the end of the day, everything's worth it. You know, like, I am so proud to be wearing this uniform that sometimes in the morning when I'm waking up and putting it on, I'm like, is this real? Am I in a dream? Like, can someone pinch me? And it's just like so wow. It's just a wow factor. Even my family, they're so proud, you know, that I'm serving for the United States Air Force. It's just such a blessing and such an honor.
Yes. And we absolutely love when you go home and visit because of the treats you bring back.
Yes.
So we are in full swing of summer now, everybody. School's out. People are at the beach. Please be careful. But what are your plans for this summer, Soto?
Well, this summer I'll be visiting my husband.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that. But then also I'm looking forward for the July the 4th. Mm-hmm. I know the city and the base has so many events going on. So I'm excited to see it. Since community engagement, I get to see, I get to know what the community is doing. That way we can support them and vice versa. What about you, Jen?
I don't really make plans because my daughter has volleyball conditioning every day. Our schedule usually revolves around her volleyball schedule because she's so good and so talented. I don't want to mess up her flow, but every once in a while we'll take like a little tiny trip. We went to St. Augustine right when the kids got out of school, which is, everybody knows on this show now, that is my favorite place in Florida to visit. But other than that, we usually just like hang out at our pool, maybe go to the beach once in a while. I'm very cautious. So like bacteria, sand, things of that nature usually deter me. But speaking about like the beaches and the waters and stuff, we had a request from the construction crews working on the DuPont Bridge. If you are a boater and you are using the waterways in between DuPont Bridge and Tyndall Air Force Base or even Callaway, when you go by those construction barges that are building the new DuPont Bridge, please, 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 slow down, extremely slow. Any wakes that you create affect the construction barges, and it creates an unsafe environment for the workers. So please, we're asking you to use extreme slow movements when you're going under that bridge or around the construction barge. And keep in mind, everybody, I'm sure we'll have somebody on here special, but it's hurricane season. So make sure you're prepared, have your emergency kits ready, have your spot ready that you would, you know, evac to if necessary.
And we also have all that information on our Tyndall website.
Yes.
We have resources, we have specifications, information of what each category is, mm-hmm. in case they don't know what an emergency items they should have. We have a list there.
Yep.
It's very resourceful. If you haven't checked it out, go ahead and go to our Tyndall official website and just click on the hurricane. And you'll see all that information.
Yep. Have you been through a hurricane yet?
Your hurricane? Yes, actually.
Really?
Since I'm from Texas, in Texas we have hurricanes.
Yes.
Not a huge, huge one, like here, thankfully, knock on wood. But yeah, I have seen some that it's like, whoa, it is scary.
Yeah.
It is scary.
You brought us the two special guests that we have coming up on the show. And this was a once in a lifetime opportunity to get two international members of the military to be on our show and talk about the differences between their country, our country's military. So I'm very excited to talk to these people and to get to know more about them and their culture. I mean, I learn a lot from you.
Yes.
I'm even trying to learn better Spanish. She corrects me when I don't do my accent right.
When you don't roll your R's.
Yes, it's hard. Growing up, I learned Spanish because my teacher was from Spain. So that's completely different from your Spanish. But we're trying. So that way we can communicate, Soto and I, and nobody else can understand what we're saying.
Exactly. It will be our secret.
But also, like, I love learning about cultures, and I would love to be multilingual. So I'm trying.
But no, it's very important, right, to know how other militaries from other countries, because, I mean, we go all over the place. We interact with a lot. So it's important to know their customs and courtesies, just to know them in general and culture, right?
Yeah.
As they're going to talk how they got to emerge in our culture, it is also important for us to also be aware of their culture and see, like you said, how we differ, how we are different. I mean, similar.
Yeah. All right, everybody, stick around and we'll be right back with our two special international guests.
This episode of Lightning Within 5 is brought to you by the 325th Fighter Wing Public Affairs Shop. For all the latest news, photos, videos, and more, check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our official website, tendo.af.mil.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here with our two very special guests, international guests. You guys are the first international guests we've had on this show, which is so amazing. And I know it means so much to my co-host, Lieutenant Soto, over here. So let's introduce you to our audience.
Okay, I'm First Lieutenant Cora Almirón from Mexico.
I'm First Lieutenant Santiago Mezcua, also from Mexico.
So why did you guys decide to join the Mexican Air Force?
For me, it was a very great opportunity to be on the Air Force and to study in our academy.
I would say also because the amount of opportunities that you have if you join the Air Force, there are not such a lot of opportunities in the civilian way. So it's a great chance to grow as a professional.
So I know a little fun fact about them. So when they joined the Air Force in Mexico, Coral didn't have a degree, but Amezcoa did. However, even though they both deferred, they still went into the academy, which is 4 years long. Unlike here, where if you have a degree, you just go to the officer school and then you go in.
Right.
But if you don't have a degree, then you go to the 4 years. So then me, that I already have my degree coming in, I got to skip the 4 years of the academy,
right,
which is good for me.
Yeah.
But them, they don't. They actually do have to go into the 4 years. And they told me some interesting things about the academy. They have this parade for Mexico Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always seen it, and I've always been like so impressed by it, of all the dedication that they do for that parade. I'll show you a video. I should have showed you a video before so you could be like, oh. So the first thing I asked him was like, have you been in one of those? Because I have had the opportunity to see a parade. And me being Mexican and seeing it, like, it brings me to tears. I don't know why. You know, just that pridefulness of me having both, you know, here and over there. So to see them, to me, I was like, you know, like, they don't know this, but like, to me, they're kind of like celebrities for some reason. Like, to me, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So when I asked, I was like, so you've been to the parades, and both of them have been in the parades. I would like for them to talk more about that parade, because it's a very important thing in Mexico City.
Yeah.
There's thousands of people that line up to just see them. So then I kind of got a little peek behind the curtain of what they have to do in that parade for to make it happen. But you can see everyone, you know, yelling Aww. For them, greeting them. And there's some videos, you know, that some of them don't get to see their family, and they get to see them in that parade.
Aww.
Cheering for them. So, back to you. I'm sorry I took so long.
Okay,
I have two
okay.
questions for you. The first one, I would like for you to talk more about the academy, like how that was for you, the 4 years. Any fun facts or what was the most that you took out of it? And then after that, then we'll talk about the parade to see your perspective regarding the parade.
The in processing, it's kind of hard. I think it's kind of the same thing here. You need to do a lot of exams, physical exams, medical exams, knowledge exams. And once you go through all of that, once you are in the academy, it's really hard, because from the part for living your life as a civilian and then becoming a military, mm-hmm. it's really a change, a big change. And then many people, they don't endure it, and they eventually will leave.
Yeah,
I would say. In the beginning, it was really hard, but as the years pass and you get through it, it's just getting easier and mm-hmm. easier. But for example, you were saying about the parades, the trainings and the hours spent under the sun and just marching and running, exercise and sleepovers, it's really tiring. And you say once, well, you may say it's not worth it, but once you are in the parade and you are watching your family, you're Aww. Watching little kids just standing there on the sidewalks.
Yeah.
And they started to cheer you up. You will find strength out of nowhere, and you will start to do it, to give Aww. Your best. Yeah. So it's really nice.
That's so sweet. Also, some families that even don't know you, mm-hmm. they inspire you to continuing.
Yeah.
So
it's your country's pride. Yeah. Like, they're yes. so proud of how far you got. And that's their way of showing you, like, you have done great things, and we know you're going to do more great things. So that's really special. I love that. It's kind of like when our Air Force, like, our graduation at basic training, and we're doing our, like, little parade with our families there. I think in that moment, that really is when it sinks in for us too. Like, oh my gosh, I did it. And I'm actually going to go do this. I am like the 1% of this country that actually could get through basic training, and I'm going to serve my country and protect my loved ones. So I assume it's the same for y'all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Every job has requirements, right? Different requirements. So for the Mexican Air Force, does it work like our Air Force where you have like a second and third choice, and then if you're not right for being a pilot, you can go to your second or third choice?
No, you choose since the very beginning.
Uh-huh.
Since you decided to go and start doing your in processing and exams and everything, you choose what you want to become.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So you choose it and you stick with it no matter what.
Yes.
But if you don't meet the requirements, you get kicked out?
Yes.
You have to wait
the next year to try it again.
Yes. Oh,
wow. What if you don't like it? You're like halfway and you're like,
you can just leave.
Yes.
You just leave?
Yes.
That's it?
Like, yes. Yeah. For example,
if you're in the academy, yes, it's that's it. Like, what? You don't like it? Bye.
Yes, I would say.
That's crazy. You don't go to jail because you signed a contract? No.
Nah.
Not in the academy.
No, in the academy, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
See, I learned something new today. Mind blown.
That's wow. crazy. So for us, like, you have to, you know, you pick what you want, but then you don't know if you get it right until mm-hmm. it gets closer to you graduating from the academy. And then you get that job, and if you don't like it, you could always retrain later, but you can't just walk away. Like, the Air Force owns you for 4 years or however long your contract is. You cannot leave. They're going to get their money out of you, which is crazy. I can't believe you guys can just walk out and be like, nah, I'm not feeling it today. See ya.
Yes, well, while being a cadet, we can do yes. that. Once we are officers, we are, yes. Once we have a rank, nah.
Okay.
We're not able to leave.
Like, what kind of, like, the key things that you learn in the academy? Like, what do they teach you in the academy?
I would say they teach us everything related to navigation, to meteorology, to anything related to the air operations in general. And also, well, it's like a really integral, I would say, thing, because we don't just learn that, we also learn ethics, human rights, yes, math,
survival skills, calculus.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. Also, yes, survival skills, and
like military stuff.
leadership things. So it's like there are many things.
Someone right now in Mexico is hearing us, right? And they're like, "Oh, how hard is it to get in? But to what I want, like maybe they want to be a pilot, maybe they want to be like you, maybe they want to be a doctor." Like, what are?
I would say it depends on the people, on how you are. For example, I would say the dream of many people is just to become a pilot. Mm-hmm. But for us, well, at least for me, it was because of the amount of things that I can do. There are many things that I can do as a air controller and a bell manager. There are many things that we can do. It's not mm-hmm. just like limited to certain stuff. For example, I would say a pilot is just limited to flying and planning, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
We're like able to do many things and take many courses, and I would say grow in a professional way, not just to stay like just like something. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice. I would say that's why I chose it.
What was the hardest part of the academy?
I would say the first year.
The first year?
Yes. Yes.
Why?
Because for me, I was so far from my home.
Aww.
So I was with homesick at the beginning. And also you are doing new things, like just going into the military life, because it's part of the academy. Everything changes of your routine.
Yeah. So is it like our enlisted basic training where they're yelling in your face and you're constantly working out and you're doing physically and mentally draining things for that whole first year? Is that what it's like?
Not the first year, the first 6 months.
Okay.
The first six months are just dedicated to basic training and survival skills,
mm-hmm.
and how to do the basic stuff. For okay. example, how to address to a superior rank officer,
mm-hmm.
and how to, they teach you manners and all the basic stuff.
Yeah.
And once we go, because we began our first 6 months, it's in Mexico City, and then mm-hmm. we go to our actual academy in Guadalajara. It's okay. the air college. We go there, and then we spend the other 6 months, but it's more dedicated to our fields, to our studies.
Wow.
But also taking, I would say the hardest part is that we have senior cadets, mm-hmm. and everyone is like telling you what to do, and you're like just running, and what should I do? Yeah. And yes.
You're like, who do I listen to?
Last puppy.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, what's the best part of the academy?
Graduating?
Mm. Yes.
Well,
or the people that you meet?
I would say for me, the amount of, since you're a cadet, you can take many opportunities. You can do many things. I mean, the chances are there. You just have to take them.
Yeah.
And I would say that. I did many stuff, many things in during the academy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say I miss it, because I would never leave that again. But it's such a really nice memory.
Okay.
For me, the best thing of the academy, I think it's also the opportunity to work after the academy immediately. Mm-hmm. Also the experience, you know, people from the whole country that is very big. So you have a friend on the north part, in the south part, so you can go and visit them. And
I mean, same thing for our basic training, right? Like, I have friends that I made at basic training and tech school. I haven't talked to them in 15 years, but as soon as I reach out to them, they're going to be like, hey, are we going to go have lunch? Like, you never lose those friendships or those connections. And I think that's so crucial for military. That is absolutely, I think, in my opinion, the best part about being in the military is the camaraderie. and the relationships you build with people, because it's not like civilians. It's not like you're just going to work with somebody. You're spending more time with these people than you spend with your own family.
Yes.
So they become your family.
They're like your brothers and sisters.
Exactly. It makes sense that when people leave, they miss it. When you retire, you miss the military. You miss the camaraderie. You still always have your friends, but it's not the same. Trust me, I've tried it. The civilian world is not for me, so that's why I'm here. Cool. So why did you choose the Air Force and not the Army or the Navy?
I was thinking about the Navy.
Uh-huh.
But
I don't think we've ever talked about the doghouse. So after I talked to the leadership team over at the 337th Air Control Squadron, they informed me, I always learn something new about this base, but since Hurricane Michael and going through all of COVID-19, they have not really slowed down their pace. The 337th has been around for 83 years, and their motto is relentless pursuit of excellence through training, development, and graduation. And that is in reference to our U.S. Air Force air battle managers and international air battle managers all across the globe. I think he did say we had 58 partnering countries, but to fill everybody in, can you explain to them what exactly an air battle manager does and why they're so important?
Okay, I would say they are really important because hopefully if when we're in a situation of war, we are going to be the eye in the sky. Pretty mm-hmm. much, we're going to be the guidance of our fighters. So playing, being part of that and also helping them, it's like, I would say every branch of the Air Force, we all have to work like for one another.
Yeah.
We cannot exist if the other doesn't do their work.
Right.
So everyone has to do their part. So I would say the battle manager, it's really important because of what we need to do. I mean, it's like we are seeing everything. We are seeing the space. So it's like the main line of defense, I would say.
So what was that like for you being in the doghouse? And like what other countries were there working alongside of you?
Other countries? We have Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Norway,
Colombia.
Also
Philippines,
Israel. And Italy, I guess that's it. Yeah, that's it. Was real fun.
They actually allowed them to go anywhere in the States to vacation.
Also, they have a program on Doghouse with their international students, and they took us to New Orleans, Atlanta. Oh, wow.
It's called
Tallahassee.
Field studies program, and they it's kind of the schedule of the whole course, and they take us to different places to get to understand and know the American culture pretty much.
They want to have them emerge into the American culture. They took them to museums.
Oh, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yes.
Okay. Did you find that there was a lot of differences from the way that you do your job from what you learned at the doghouse?
For what we already knew in Mexico, I would say it's kind of the same because everything has to be like standardized.
Yeah.
Everything has to be standardized.
Yep.
And also,
go ahead.
We took a course with one of the guys that was here. 2024.
Okay.
So he shared with us the knowledge
from
this course. So when we came here, it was some things we know, some things were new, but
yeah,
it was more or less.
Okay. But it overall is super beneficial.
Yes. Completely.
Okay. There are many, many similarities between the Mexican Air Force and American, but also there's some like weird differences. And we're like, what?
No way. You do that?
six months of basic training? Absolutely not.
But that is only on the academy.
Right. But still. Yeah. That's 6 months.
In the academy, do they teach you specifically your job later in the years, like once you're like in the fourth year?
Or in the academy? We start on the second year, they start to teach us like in the tower stuff, and control and tower. When we go to the third year, we start with the radars.
We also have the simulation labs, so that's a real big help.
Wow.
So we are going
step by step. Yes.
Yeah.
So then once you graduate the academy, you don't go to a different school to teach you your job. Like, you're done. Like, you should be ready to go, like you mentioned, right? Like, after the academy, you go straight to your job and you should know everything.
Yeah, the basics, yes. Yeah. Because as I was saying, I can be an air battle manager, or I can be controlling a tower. So those are two completely different jobs, but we are able to do it. But once we arrive, we just have to get familiarized with everything, to get to know everything. And they will teach you like the basics, and they will start to leave you to do your work alone. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, they will supervise, they will see how you're doing, and then they will start to leave you.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us here today. And thank you for being my first international guest. This is exciting for me. We're going places. I can feel it. But thank you. I wish you guys safe travels and nothing but the best in the future. And if you come back by, please bring good, authentic Mexican food with you.
Of course.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.